From the Mercy One Studio.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. It's time to hear from the top Christian litigators in the nation who have come forward to tell us the truth and help us defend our faith.
Hear ye, hear ye. All rise. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano, is in session.
And good Thursday morning from the Mercy One Studio in West Des Moines. This is Deacon Mike Mano, and with me by a phone in Florida, someplace in Florida. I don't know whether she's running from the law or not, but it's Gina Knoll. Gina, how are you?
Good morning, Deacon Mike. I'm well. Yeah. Isn't that where everybody goes when they're running from the law?
Yeah, I Florida? Think so. Well, we've got your bail paid here if you want to come back, you know.
Oh, wonderful.
So how is everything in Florida this morning?
Always sunny in Florida, I'm afraid. Yes, warm and hot and muggy and beautiful sunny Florida. I'm glad to be here. We're organizing my daughter's summer plans, and it's working out pretty well.
Very good.
But it kept me a few extra days than I had originally planned. So
yeah, well, that's fine.
We'll get through our show.
That's fine. Yeah, don't worry about us. We can do this by phone, and you just stay there and lounge in the sun when you get a chance.
Well, it was nice of Julie Nelson to cover for me on the show last week, but I did not want to miss this week. We've got some wonderful guests.
Right, and the first one is Matt, is it Zurazin? Is that how he pronounces his name?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so, Zurazin. Yeah, he's...
When we get him on, he'll tell us, right?
Yeah, he'll tell us the whole story, and then... And of course, help us with the pronunciation of his name.
Right.
He's a new dad as of Monday, so we will have to congratulate him when he
comes
on the
show. So we just kind of missed the a bullet here. If she would have been in labor a few more days, we might have been looking for another guest.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, God is good.
And God is
good. He was meant to be on the show today.
Good.
You know, we have so many stories about college students persecuted on their college campuses. You know, constitutional rights violated. This morning I did a quick check on the Alliance Defending Freedom, their legal website, to see how many cases they were handling currently for college students. And I don't know, it was like 12 pages long of different cases that they're battling. And we have so many of them on the show. And I thought this would be a good guest to have to talk about some of the good things that are happening for
right. And he's at Newman Ministries.
Newman Ministries, right.
And so, he heads up their student housing fund, so.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have a new program he's going to share with us, too, that they're very excited about, where they support the actual campus ministers on the campuses, mostly secular campuses. I think they're primary. I don't know. He can tell us the whole thing, but I'm very excited to talk to that guest. And then we have Mike Gonzalez back.
Right, and he's been a good guest before, and he'll be a good guest, I'm sure, today. He's got a book out, and it's called The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. We'll talk to him a little bit about that. I just got my copy delivered to me within the past week, so I'm not very far in that book. But we're going to talk about all of that with Mike, and he's from one of the senior fellows at the Heritage Foundation, so... I'm sure he'll give us another good interview.
Absolutely. Very timely book. Very timely.
It is. It
probably wouldn't have made sense to people 20 years ago, but today I think it's going to hit some of these contemporary issues that we're battling in society and
right.
in our politics and in our own church.
Right, right. And that's what happens. And speaking of church... A couple of things about today. First of all, today is the original Ascension Thursday. This is the traditional Thursday that we would celebrate the Ascension from most parishes. Now they've transferred that to this coming Sunday. But this is the traditional day that, remember years ago, or you're too young for this probably, but Ascension Thursday was a holy day of obligation.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, you're too young. And then, of course, well, this is also the anniversary of the first apparition of the Blessed Virgin at Fatima.
Right, I knew that. That's one of my favorite apparition stories with the children in Portugal.
Right, 1917 that happened, so that's quite a while ago.
Well,
but
yeah,
the message is still viable today.
Very, very much so, and we continue to hear that message. I know so this is Ascension Thursday, but mm-hmm. we also celebrate Pentecost then.
Pentecost is next Sunday. Not this coming
Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Okay.
Right. At Pentecost, we receive the Holy Spirit again. And that's so, my message this weekend from the pulpit is let's prepare ourselves for that. We got some work to do.
Well, that was a time filled with fear and uncertainty between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost, and we can all relate to that.
Yeah, we certainly can. Do you have a prayer to open us up with?
I do. A prayer from Pope Benedict. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world. Peace in the hearts of all men and women, and peace among the nations of this earth. Turn to your way of love, those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred. Strengthen us in hope, and give us the wisdom and courage to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among nations and in the hearts of all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gina. And we're going to take a short break right now, and hopefully we can get both you and Matt back on the phone after the break.
I hope so, too.
You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading 12-day all-inclusive experiences, sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmaninternational.org. Thank you to Blessman International for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and the Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
This is Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr from the Uncommon Good.
Mercy College provides unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules. Since 1899, Mercy College has been transforming students into healthcare professionals. Guided by Catholic values, our faculty put classroom theory into practice. Students are prepared for roles in service and leadership throughout their own careers.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
St. Augustine Parish welcomes Zachary King Thursday night, May 20th at 7. Zachary King is a former Satanist whose life was miraculously changed in 2008. Thursday evening, May 20th at 7, St. Augustine Parish, 42nd and Grand. Zachary King will share his journey as Satan's puppet to Christ's servant. Zach will astound you, inform you, and inspire you. Zachary King, May 20th, 7 p.m. There is no cost, but a free will offering will be taken. Learn more at allsaintsministry.org. That's Thursday night, May 20th at 7 o'clock, St. Augustine Parish.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Faith on Trial provided by Paul Martin and Paul Mitchell, owners of Imogene Ingredients. Imogene Ingredients supply specialized feed ingredients for livestock and pet diets to improve maternal and young animal health in both conventional and organic production. And you're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. I'm Deacon Mike Mano here in the studio, and Gina is joining me from some undisclosed location in Florida, and we have with us now Matt, and Matt, I'm maybe going to mispronounce this name. Is Zeruzen? Is that it?
Zeruzen, yeah.
Zeruzen, okay.
You're pretty pretty good.
I was close. All right. Matt is from Newman Ministries, and he is currently president of the Newman Student Housing Fund and chief of innovative discipleship. So let's start off before Gina chimes in here about what all of that is.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, so I've been at this for a little over 11 years. So I grew up, I'm in Dallas now, but I grew up in the Midwest in Illinois. Was actually a Illinois football fan. And so I was on the sidelines of a football game one day and met the Catholic chaplain. And I didn't go to college myself. But, you know, our Illinois, if you got any college football fans, our program has struggled over the years. And so it was a slow game. And, you know, I met the chaplain. We just started talking, and he invited me over to the Newman Center on campus. And like I said, I didn't go to college. I didn't know anything about this. I'm like, all right, this is a Saturday night. It's 9:30 at night. There's not going to be anybody here. So anyway, I walk over there. I walk in, and there was probably like 100 students in there. Some of them were in like a small group. Some of them were playing games. And I'm like, wow, what is this? Like, what is this place? And at Illinois, they have a residential component to their ministry, which is, you know, at the time they were the only one in the country. And I didn't know this, but I asked the pastor, and I said, you know, do these exist on college campuses everywhere? And he said, with a residential component, no. And I don't know what happened, but I don't even know. I don't even hardly remember saying it, but I just told him, I said, not for long. And
there you
so
go.
The next day,
taking the bull by the horns.
The next day, I don't know if I did it or the Holy Spirit did it. Something came out of my mouth. And, you know, the next day, we started Newman Student Housing as a way to bring the faith to the students. And so we have since built five of these inspired living facilities where, you know, we partner with the Catholic ministry on campus. We'll come in, we'll build a couple hundred beds, and, you know, students can live in a really cool, totally different environment than what they're used to.
Gina is
campuses.
Starting to learn about that firsthand. Gina?
I am. My daughter actually has one on her college campus, and there's a facility she's subleasing from in her city where she's interning. And I agree, they feel very safe. I'm happy to leave her to be, because I feel like her housing is just a comfortable, safe place for her to live.
Yeah, that's great.
Matt, can you tell us a little bit different? Are you so a lot of college campuses have a Newman Center. I did a little research. They were started in the 1800s, and they were the Catholic community's ability to bring the faith to students on secular campuses. Is your organization affiliated with the Newman Centers, or is it something entirely different?
Yeah, so how it kind of started, we started with the housing. And then, you know, because it's Newman, so St. John Henry Newman's vision was to kind of build, you know, a Catholic space within the realm of the secular university space. And so we started with the student housing side. And, you know, we were building these facilities and, you know, cruising right along. And then we're like, you know, we want to also get into the ministry side. And so I started a nonprofit called Newman Ministry, which helps support campus ministers on college campuses. So like you said, there's about 800 of them nationally that have, like, you know, real physical presence. You know, there are a couple thousand campuses nationwide, you know, and some of them, they don't have a physical space, so we kind of tie them to a parish. But, you know, we work alongside the campus ministers to help support them in ministry on campus. You know, what are the students looking for? This is a totally different generation growing up, you know, then how do you reach out to them? What do they want to hear? How do you communicate with them? And, you know, also what mediums do they use to communicate? You know, with the phones and all that going on, it's something. You've got to be with it, or, you know, the students, they can tell, you know, they can tell. So we work with about 800 different campuses now that we're helping support the campus ministers with their ministry, with programs, with the big program we do is outreach. So we right now we're in the middle of our outreach season. We are reaching out to Catholic high schools and parishes and trying to get the information of their graduates, their high school graduates. So what we saw was there was a big drop from, I mean, really it's confirmation, but for sure from like youth ministry into campus ministry. So from high school to college, there was just a huge drop in the faith. And in fact, almost 80% of students stopped practicing the faith in college. It's probably a little higher now, but it's frightening. And you know what? One of the number one reasons students tell us that they never went to the Newman Center or they stopped going was because of the lack of an invitation. It's really that simple. And that's what we hear over and over. They're like, I didn't know about it. Nobody invited me. And so we've set up this big outreach program, and we are working to get information from the high school seniors, send it on to the campus minister, and then, you know, they can start communicating directly. And as of this year, we just launched, this was really an effort due to COVID because, you know, you couldn't meet in person, and so how do you build an online community? So we just released an app here a couple months ago called Newman Connect. It's on the App Store. It's on the Google Play Store. If anyone's interested, you know, you can go check it out. But your high school student or even your college student can sign up, join the ministry, and then the whole little online community is all there within the app. So what we're trying to do is ensure that this invitation happens. If it's really this simple and the students are telling us the truth, then let's get them an invitation. So that's what we're trying to do.
That's fabulous because so often on our programming we cover legal issues for people who are, their faith is attacked, their expression of their faith is attacked. And oftentimes it's college students. And it seems like they're almost alone. You know, the campuses are very hostile towards speech that is very faith-related. So it's good for students to know that if that's in their heart, that they have a safe place, that they can be able to express themselves with their friends and find like-minded individuals.
I agree. And this is why it's so important, especially these times we're in. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news, and you can see what life on a college campus is like. It's not good. I mean, it's not even anymore that they're not, you know, environments conducive to faith. They're like hostile to faith, you know. And you, I'm sure you guys have heard the stories of students in the classroom, or you know, it's persecution.
We've had their attorneys on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We've had a lot of attorneys on this program. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, it's hard. And, you know, when you look at, like, our faith as Catholics, you know, how confident are we? You know, when if we depends on our how we grew up and how confident are we in the faith, can we defend it? And, you know, that's hard to ask sometimes a college student to do that who still trying to figure out who they are, learn about the faith, and understand all of the inner workings. And, you know, you have a professor there who's, you know, been tenured and studying these things for a long time. And, you know, it's really hard to expect them to debate and stand up for the truth. And so, you know, with this community, and like you said, there's power in numbers, there's power in prayer. And getting connected to the right people in college is so important because even, you know, as you know, you send your daughter off to college, those first couple weeks, they're going to meet people that will influence the decisions they make for the rest of their life. And so as a church, I think we have to do a better job of saying, look, we know you're in the parish. We know who you are. We know your family. And then why, when we send them off to college, do we just say good luck? That just doesn't make any sense to us.
So now these,
and so we're trying to help bridge that gap.
Right. So now, are these connected with Newman Centers, or are there some places where there's not a Newman Center and you make other arrangements?
Yeah, so there's kind of a split, and I don't know the full story on this in the church, why this happened. I think it was political. That's the story they tell me. But in the 70s, there was kind of a split between, there were Newman Centers, and then some of them just called themselves Catholic Campus Ministries.
Okay.
But nevertheless, it's a ministry on campus that's Catholic. It's typically run by the church. Sometimes they have a pastor, you know, a priest, and other times it's lay-led. You know, it's led by a lay person. Most major universities have a presence. In fact, if you go to our website, NewmanConnection.com, we have all of these listed in a database where you can go check them out and take a look at, you know, who's the pastor, and you can see all this on our app as well. But yeah, the church has a presence on most major campuses, even some little junior colleges. But, you know, if we couldn't find a Catholic presence dedicated specifically to college students, we try to find a local parish and just, you know, let the parish priest, the parish staff know, hey, we've got someone here who's going to the local college, and, you know, can you reach out to them?
Now,
wonderful.
Gina, is this how you found out about the Newman Connection.com, or do you have the app, the Newman Connect app?
No, I did not know about the app, but I did write it down so that I can hand it off to my daughter. That's a wonderful bit of information. I learned about it after my daughter started going to her secular college, which, of course, she was in Catholic education all the way through high school. It made me a little nervous not to be in the, I would have preferred probably for her to be on a Catholic campus, but the first thing we did was search out the Newman Center when we got to her campus, and she's been very involved there, and later realized they had this housing that was Newman housing. And then when she got her internship, we were looking for subleasing. She's only here 2 months, so we were looking to sublease, and I saw there was another Newman facility, and we were able to allow her the opportunity to sublease there. So it was just an act of God, really.
Yeah. No.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, ask Matt, I understand from what I have read about this is that people that want to join the housing or engage in, I guess, rental of a unit in the housing, any faith is accepted. They don't have to be Catholic.
That's correct.
Christian.
That's right. Yep. We want to create as close to the real world as what we can. And so it's open to students of all faiths. And, you know, it's really, so how you build these things, you know, the core of it is culture. You hire good people. And we've refined our process over the years. But, you know, you walk into some of these businesses and hospitals, you really see this. You know, they put their vision, their culture, their mission statements on the wall. But, you know, at Newman, this is ingrained in who we are, our culture. We have to be, we talk about inspired leadership all the time. What did you do to inspire people today? How can you make your students' day be the light? You know, how can we make their day? And it's culture and getting good people in. And so, you know, when you open that to students of all faiths, a story. The very first one we opened was in Melbourne, Florida. And, you know, it got picked up by all the major news outlets. And so the Wall Street Journal, I'm reading it in the paper, and I said, my gosh, this is such a good article. I wasn't expecting this. And I get all the way down to the bottom, and then here's this young man who says, I'm an atheist. And I thought, oh, boy, here we go. And they're like, well, why are you living here? And the building's called Mary Star of the Sea. And he's like, well, you know, I didn't realize it was, he said, I didn't even realize when I signed up it was inspired living. And I don't know how he gets past Mary Star of the Sea.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the reporter asked
him. Or the big crucifix in the lobby, yeah.
Yeah. And so the reporter's like, well, are you going to stay here? This was like the second week of school. And he's like, absolutely. I love it here. These people are amazing. And it's great. And, of course, you know, Father Doug reads this, and he's like, okay, good. I'm going to go get this kid because now I got his name. And now I know that he loves the building and loves what we're doing. So, you know, it's really just the culture and the vibe of these places. It's such a positive place to live. Like we said, college students get hit with so much stuff, and these times we're living in are they're bad for
now, Matt, are you working through any diocese, any bishops?
Yeah, so on the housing side, we partner with the diocese and the bishop if we're going to build. It always goes through them. Typically, it's on their land or, you know, in a deal with them through the ministry. And then through our nonprofit and our outreach program, we're actually endorsed in over 100 different dioceses. So we're fully endorsed by all the bishops in Iowa, most in the Midwest. I mean, there's, I think, 190-some dioceses. So we're endorsed in most of them.
Good.
For our high school outreach.
Good. Now, one final thing, unless Gina has anything else. We understand that you're a new father.
Oh, goodness. I mean, if you want to just inject faith into your veins, watch your wife have a baby. I mean, my goodness, if that's just not a miracle, I don't know what is.
Is this your first?
So, yeah, it's my first, yes.
Very
good. Had her on Monday afternoon.
Well, congratulations. Did you say it's a her?
A little treasure. Yeah, Stella.
Stella.
Yep, little Stella. She's been with us. We had her on Monday, so we're on. What is, I don't even, you know how this goes. I don't even know what day it is right now.
It's Thursday. Just look at it this way. You've had her all her life.
Okay, there we go. Well, she's on day three. We just wake up every morning and say, look, let's get stronger today.
Well,
that's our goal.
Well, that's great. Well, that's great. And I hope you pass the faith on to Stella and whatever siblings she may end up with over the years. Gina, do you have anything else?
Just as a final thought, Matt, can you share with us if you plan on continuing building these facilities and growing the ministry and how people can help? I'm assuming that there's a need for contributions or support. If you could just give us some information for our listeners to get more involved.
Absolutely. So on the housing side, our goal is to keep moving on this. You know, I think these things have proven to be a success. You know, your daughter's an example and just motivates us to keep on going. I think we want to try to build these all over. And as far as the ministry side, so that's Newman Student Housing Fund. .com if you want to check out faith-based housing and inspired living on college campuses. And then newmanconnection.com for the outreach program if you want to connect your high school grads. And then Newman Connect app on the Apple Store, Google Play. I think I got it all there.
Very good. We usually sometimes have to drag the web pages out of people. They're not ready to weren't expecting to deliver them over the radio. So, yeah, you got them all in, and we certainly would encourage our listeners to check those out and understand that this is a, I suppose, a tax-exempt organization, right, a nonprofit, so they can make tax-deductible contributions of any spare change they have laying around to you folks to continue on this important work.
We would appreciate that very much.
Matt, thank you for joining us today. We certainly appreciate your time, and we'll wish you well and keep you in our prayers. That's Matt Zerzewin, who is president of the Newman Student Housing Fund and chief of innovative discipleship. it's a mouthful at Newman Ministries. I hope you can get that all on your business card.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. Gina and I will be right back after these messages. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and the Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
This is Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr from the Uncommon Good.
Mercy College provides unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules. Since 1899, Mercy College has been transforming students into healthcare professionals. Guided by Catholic values, our faculty put classroom theory into practice. Students are prepared for roles in service and leadership throughout their own careers.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall. Online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. We'll get to enjoy a little bit more nice weather today, and then we've got showers in the forecast through the weekend with low pressure headed our way. Upper 60s and sunny for the afternoon. Clouds move in tonight with our low in the mid-40s. About 60 for the high tomorrow. Showers and thunderstorms will be likely in the afternoon. The weather is brought to you by Divine Treasures, a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
And you're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. Well, we're trying to get our next guest on the phone. I think we're having a telephone.
Oh, is this Mike?
Oh, I think we may have him.
I think it'll be fun to listen to Mike discuss the secular issues with knowing what we know about our future leaders on our college campuses and how they're being treated and,
right.
and educated.
And as we were speaking through the magic of Tony, who's working behind the glass here, getting everything lined up, we have Mike Gonzalez with us, who's a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Mike, how are you this morning?
Hey, how are you? Thanks a lot for having me on.
Certainly. Senior fellow. I've always wanted to be a senior fellow somewhere. What does a senior fellow do?
My children said that it just means that I'm old.
Oh. Well, that's good enough,
I'm a
I
senior.
Guess. We'll just say you're also a good fellow, too, for joining us today.
Yes, you could say that.
Mike, and thank you for joining us again, because you've been here before. We should mention that you do have a book out, and... ironies of ironies, I ordered the book and it came just the day before I found out that you were available for this program. So I've not had a chance to get into it and read it very far, but it's called The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. We have a blog. It's called Faith on Trial Radio. And if you go there, we've got the book list it there so you can click through and purchase that book, and they will deliver it right to your home. Mike, can you give us about the, I guess, a 30-second preview of the book?
Well, that's great, and thanks a lot for bringing that up. Yeah, it's actually really fortuitous because all the bad things we're seeing happening in the second half of last year, in the first half of this year, with all this attempt at changing America through critical race theory and through street protests, it's all detailed in my book. I actually explain everything that is happening, why this a committed group of activists and theorists and professors who really despise America the way it is and want to not just improve it, right, at the margins, want to completely overhaul it, completely transform it into something else. They want to. They're all Marxists. They're all communists. They're all anti-capitalists, and they really do not like the way America is constituted. They say we're systemically racist, which we're not. That's a libel, and they say many other things that are not true. And they're trying to really indoctrinate our children and our workers.
Well, and it sounds like the little bit I've had to read on the book, and going through the introduction, that a lot of this stuff. It really doesn't have a historical basis. It's kind of made up.
So that's one thing. They don't see history as a collection of facts that you put in a history book and analyze. They see everything as a narrative. Everything, it's not processed through your senses, but it's processed through your perception of things. So you have your truth and I have my truth, and they're equally valid. They're just narratives, competing narratives, and the history of the United States is a narrative. They would call it the hegemonic narrative because we're the hegemon, and they want to change that and replace it with a counter narrative. So, because they don't believe they're relativists, at bottom, critical theory is a child of Nietzsche, not just of Marx. And Nietzsche believed there was no God and there was no truth, there was no good or bad. Everything was relative. So this is extremely relativist. They take issue with history and even the concept of mankind.
Now, you mentioned critical theory and then critical race theory. Now, there's a little bit of difference between them. I think one is a larger umbrella term. Can you, again, explain just for our listeners the difference between critical theory and critical race theory and how they intertwine?
That's a very good question, and I deal with both in my book, The Plot to Change America. Critical theory is the oldest. Critical theory starts in Germany in the 1920s and 1930s when communists are upset that the German Revolution has failed. They have not set up a German Soviet, just like the Soviet Union, and they analyze why that happened, and their analysis is that the worker just refuses to rise up and overthrow the bourgeoisie because the worker hopes can, in fact, change his station in life. So they approach things culturally. They have to change the way the worker thinks. They have to change the worker's culture. The worker has false consciousness, and they have to change the worker. Critical race theory is the American version of this. It comes in the early 70s with Derek Bell and Kimberlé Crenshaw, who gives it the name, and Angela Harris is very, very influential, and Mary Matsuda, Richard Delgado, these are American academics, and they add R, they add race. So the mutation of critical theory into critical race theory is that the worker is replaced with race, and the worker is replaced because as I said, you can change your station in life, and under capitalism, people often do, but you cannot change immutable characteristics. Right? You cannot change your race. You cannot change, newsbreak here, you cannot change your sex, and you cannot change your national origin. My national origin is Cuban. I'm an American, but my parents were born in Cuba. That's my national origin. These are facts that are unchangeable. So they work with that to change, they want people, these new categories, to be the agents of change, of the revolutionizing agent. Is that clear?
Yeah, and what's most clear about it is I think all the people behind this were literally Marxists.
All of them, down to the last man.
Antonio Gramsci and the Frankfurt
yes.
School.
Yeah, Marcuse, Horkheimer, Adorno, they were all Marxists. In Derek Bell, in Kimberlé Crenshaw. She's a socialist. Angela Harris is also a Marxist. Obviously, Ibram Kendi and Robin DiAngelo, who are not theorists, but they are trainers, they're practitioners of critical race theory, they also hate capitalism. They think capitalism is bad and racist because capitalism produces inequalities and it produces racial disparities, and they say these are products of racism. It's not true, and I can go into why, how is that it's not true, but yes, they hate, they despise capitalism and want to dismantle it.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I also have in front of me here an article that you wrote, it's dated May 5th, Purging Whiteness to Purge Capitalism. You wrote it with another fellow from Heritage, and fellow is entitled, not this is another guy, but you talk about this, and one of the things you indicate is that critical race theory basically wants to achieve its results through what you call the heavy-handed use of crude racial quotas of affirmative action. In other words, they're not, I guess, not letting people better themselves, but they are imposing some type of an equitable outcome of things on society in order to achieve whatever ends they might have.
So what they would say, you're a father, right? You're a priest?
Deacon.
A deacon. Well, what they would say, deacon, is that capitalism, that individuals can rise, can improve their positions in life, can become wealthier in America. They don't deny that. They can do so, but only by adopting what they would say are white cultural traits. For example, punctuality or the use of reason, the use of of reading and writing. They're completely racist. They say these things. They say these are products of whiteness. And if we adopt, the white cultural traits, we can rise in the American system. They don't want you to do that. They want you to change the system. They don't want you to perpetuate the system. They want you to act collectively through the categories they have created, the categories of victimhood. So their point is capitalism rewards through the wrong criteria. And until we change the culture and the way capitalism rewards some traits and not other traits, we have to use the heavy hand of the state to level the disparities.
And so they don't see racism as an individual thing. They see it as a systemic part of society.
It's completely as systemic and structural. Okay. This conversation, the language that we're using right now, the words that we're choosing because of a racist system. The way we drove to work today, for those of us who drove to work today, we did it under a racist system of laws. The whole thing is obsessive and crazy, but this is what they believe.
Now, one of the things I noticed in this article that I referred to a few minutes ago is you're rather critical of the media. It seems to me that what is coming through to me is that part of the reason why this is the race theory is that the media has ignored the true story, isn't telling the full story, and so it helps this critical race theory component get a foothold in society.
So the media has been just extremely dishonest. Just today, USA Today, I forget who the author was, what her name was, had an article which talked about those of us who are fighting against critical race theory and was extremely dishonest in the way she portrayed it. She said, we're trying to politicize the classroom. No, we're fighting against the politicization of the classroom. And that is just a one of many articles. The New York Times, the Washington Post, all the networks, they never mention the connection between critical race theory and critical theory. They never mention the connection between both critical theory, critical race theory, and Marx. They never mention anything of the sort. They present it as a benign, academic, maybe somewhat woolly set of theories. No, this is toxic stuff that belongs in the same ash heap of history as the Soviet Union, as the Gulag, as the Holodomor, as everything that communism has produced, which is just tears.
Yeah, and of course it has the ability then to tear down our society and all of our individual liberties, including our religious liberties. Gina, do you have anything out there in Florida?
Good morning, Mike. I'm fascinated.
We're not in the same studio today. She's down in Florida helping her daughter down there, and I'm up in the studio. She left me in Iowa, and she's down in Florida. So you see who the boss is here. Go ahead, Gina.
Well, I know we only have a few more minutes, and we could examine this topic forever, but this critical race theory and equality, it's interesting to me that its basis in the United States anyway is through a movement of academics. So we're educating our students about these theories, and then they move out of the university realm, and they build these movements that attract more individuals throughout our society, and it divides us. So how are people of faith and liberty to combat this when we've got so many forces at this point against us?
Gina, hi. I have good news. This movement across the land rising, fighting against this. State by state, I've been in touch with many different states just today, are producing legislation that will bar the implementation of critical race theory in public schools. Private citizens are rising. There's a group called FAIR, the Foundation Against Racism and Intolerance, I think it's called. And they are made up entirely of liberals, but liberals that like liberty, people like Barry Weiss, formerly of the New York Times, Steven Pinker of Harvard, Andrew Sullivan, and they are fighting against this. They've already raised millions of dollars to fight this. Loudoun County in Virginia, where the Board of Education was extremely woke and adopted critical race theory, well, this a recall campaign, which this Tuesday, the day before yesterday, collected 1,500 signatures with just three volunteers to recall the entire school board. So Americans are rising up. I urge all your listeners and the people you know in Florida to speak up. Don't accept that America is systemically racist. Don't accept any of these lies. Speak out, especially with your teachers and at the Board of Education meetings.
I noticed in the news this morning, the governor, I believe it was of Oklahoma, is getting ready to sign a bill banning critical race theory being taught in the schools. And one of the school districts, I think it's the Oklahoma City School District, has passed a resolution condemning him for that. And so these are the educators versus the governor. And I pulled a story out of the hopper the other day. The governor of Washington here, Jay Inslee, signed a bill up there mandating the teaching of critical race theory. So,
Well, we're going to have a laboratory experiment in America soon in which we're going to have free state in which the children are not indoctrinated, and we're going to have state in which our children are being put through the meat grinder of what are really, struggle sessions that look exactly like what Mao Zedong did in China during the Cultural Revolution for exactly the same reason, because Mao Zedong was a communist. So we will see what ends up happening at the end of his laboratory experiment.
I think we might have an advantage in that the schools that are open are in the states that are opposing critical race theory, and the schools that are forced to teach it are mostly at this point closed.
And according to the last census, there's a mass migration of people from towards the free states.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will not be bringing their bad policies with them.
Yeah, leave your voting pattern at home and come enjoy the freedom. Mike, we're going to have to leave it at that, but I do want to remind people the plot to change America, how identity politics is dividing the land of the free, and you can find that on Faith on Trial Radio, a link there to get it from Amazon. Appreciate your time again, Mike. We've had you a couple of times now. We've always enjoyed it, and we're going to call you back, too.
I always love doing your show, and invite me to Iowa anytime, one of the 10 states I have not visited, and it's definitely on my list.
Well, we'll have to take you to the state fair. We have a state fair this year.
Please.
And he has funnel cakes and fried Snicker bars. Mike Gonzalez, a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation, author of the book, The Plot to Change America. Thank you again. And Gene and I will be right back after these messages. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online ashworthvision.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company, providing premium outdoor landscaping. Clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? Five Sons Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. Five Sons Naturescapes online at fivesonsnaturescapes.com.
Thank you, Skeffington's Formal Wear, for sponsoring Dowling Catholic High School football. In business since 1951, Skeffington's Formal Wear offers quality service, style, and selection, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and any other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with convenient locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. All locations are family-owned and operated by members in their respective communities, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
What is the best gift ever? Giving a Catholic education is at the top of my list. Your contribution to CTO helps families send their children to our Catholic schools who otherwise could not afford it. In giving to CTO, you receive the best tax credits ever. Pledge or donate online at ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
And we're back. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio, and we should point out that you can stay connected to Iowa Catholic Radio through our newsletter that you can sign up for at iowacatholicradio.com, and then don't forget to like us on Facebook. Gina, interesting show again today.
Lots of information, and I would encourage our listeners to go to all of those social media sites so that they can follow up with much of what we talk about here today, because there's just not enough of time in our show to really dig deep.
There isn't, and we have a Facebook page, Faith on Trial. We also have that blog I was talking about. It's a Blogspot blog, so it's Faith on Trial Radio. If with the whole thing, it's .blogspot.com, and we put a lot of things up there that don't necessarily get on the show or don't have great a nexus to the show, but we put it up for people's information anyway, so you can check out both of those. Gina, when are you expecting? Go ahead.
Oh, they can always text us on the text line, and we'll get back to them.
That's
send us
right.
our email, and
that's right.
We'll communicate with them.
We do have a text line, 515-223-1150. You can text us, or you can drop me an email at deaconmike@q.com. That's an easy way to get a hold of us. And make sure you put Faith on Trial or something in the subject line so it doesn't get swept away with all the other 80 emails I get each day.
It's true, but you stay on top of them.
Yeah,
you answer me pretty quickly.
We try and stay on top of them, but I'll get over 100 emails a day. on two email accounts. And so sometimes I sit down at the computer and the first thing I have to do is sort through the email. And so a lot of stuff gets deleted almost immediately. So if you're writing us, put Faith on Trial or FOT in the heading and make sure that we'll read it then. So when are you headed to Iowa, or are you coming back? I mean, you're down there in Florida. You're not coming.
No. I keep postponing, but I am coming back, and I will be happy to bring some sunshine and warmth because I heard it's been a little chilly there.
Please do. We need that sunshine and some warmth. All right.
Good.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to point out that I hope our listeners had a little bit of inspiration in the show today to know that we're doing all we can as people of faith to raise our college students anyway as good, strong, moral, truth-filled leaders of our country, which should hopefully offset, with God's grace, all the other stuff that's going on.
That's right. Let's close with our prayer to St. Michael. St. Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And for Gene and myself, thank you for listening. Join us next week for another edition of Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. And until then, have a blessed and peaceful week.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano. Faith on Trial, Thursdays at 10 a.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio, iowacatholicradio.com, and the Iowa Catholic Radio app.